Welcome to the Generations Radio Podcast, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado, but also a pastor and a father of five. We talk about issues like faith, family, and freedom on this program. We're a little concerned that the faith is disappearing in this country, and 80% of kids raised in Christian homes walking away from the faith. Yeah, that bothers us, because we actually believe the faith is important, and that if people do not believe in God, do not believe in heaven and hell, and in Christ who saved us on the cross 2,000 years ago, then people are going to go to hell. We still believe that. We believe that what our children believe and how our children live really matters. And we're a little concerned about the decline of family and freedoms and the demise of Western civilization. That kind of bothers us as fathers on this radio program. So there's a few guys in studio here on the eastern plains of Colorado in the basement of my house, and we discuss these issues because they're important to us. We care about them. We care about our children. We want to disciple our children in the ways of God, and we're living in the greatest apostasy probably in the history of the world right now in Western countries. We're talking about Europe and North America. And a while back, before he retired, Jay Leno, the late night guy, was talking to his audience, and he wanted to know if anybody could name a Ten Commandment, one of the Ten Commandments. Someone says, hey, what about God helps those who help themselves? That was one of the answers from the audience. They got that wrong. Name one of the apostles, Jay Leno said. Nobody could. Finally, he said, hey, name the Beatles. And of course, no problem there. Without hesitation, everybody said, George, Paul, John, Ringo. They got those just fine. Well, folks, this is what happens when you're living in an apostasy. Nobody knows the truth. Nobody's read the Bible, the most important book ever written. Certainly has more copies in the hands of more people than any other book ever published. But nobody knows the Bible. Only 2 out of 10 people participating in a recent Gallup survey correctly identified who delivered the Sermon on the Mount. Fewer than 1 in 20 people, according to a BBC report, could name all of the Ten Commandments. Fewer than 1, that's what, less than 5% of people could name all of the Ten Commandments. And here in America, a recent Gallup poll found that occasional Bible readers have declined from 79% in the 1980s to 59%. That's a 20% decrease in just, what, 15 years? Only 16% of Christians polled said they read the Bible daily. That's 16% of people who call themselves Christians even read the Bible on a daily basis. Folks, this ties into the huge national apostasy that we've been talking about on this program, and we're concerned about this. The fundamental solution, of course, to all of this, where everything starts, is Deuteronomy 6:7. You shall teach your children God's word as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. That's the solution. So again, we need two things here. We need parents and the Word of God, okay? Parents and the Word of God communicating to children, and you're going to begin to see the solution to this problem of this huge national apostasy and the generational leak. My people perish for lack of knowledge, says the Word. Exhort one another daily, so long as it's called today, lest any of you be hardened with the deceitfulness of sin. Yeah, that happens within 24 hours. If there isn't daily exhortation happening in God's Word in our houses, we will see the hardening. We will see our children apostatizing right and left. We'll see exactly what we're seeing right now in this national generational leak. Well, people need to know the Word of God. When I say they need to know the Word of God, we want our children, by the time they've been through our home, to know the Word of God inside and out, better than they know algebra and geography and history. We want them to know the ethical system of the Scriptures, all the way through the civil law codes, inside and out, Old Testament, New Testament. We want them to know the Psalms, which is God's book on worshiping Him. The Psalms also provide an emotional shepherding, a comfort to God's people. We want them to memorize many of the Psalms and know them and be able to categorize them and know the emotional fiber of the Psalms. We want them to know the Proverbs, God's book on life. Our children, I think, should know every single proverb, or at least the concept expressed in every single proverb. We've been through the Proverbs about 6 or 7 times with our children, and we're getting close, but we want them to know them better than they know their multiplication tables. 75% of the world's history is contained in the Old Testament. We want them to know the history of the world throughout the entire Old Testament. They should know the stories of Jonadab the Rechabite. We're not talking about Jonah and the whale here. We're talking about a little bit more obscure stories like Eglon the Fat King, Ezekiel's Fort. They need to know this stuff. They should know the stories. They should know the 65 parables of Christ. And of course, grappled with some of the difficult doctrinal paradoxes of the Trinity, of responsibility and sovereignty of God, faith and works, grace and law. Well, folks, there's one program out there that does shine in the gloom of the great apostasy in the West, and that is a little program called Awana. In just a moment, I want to talk to the president of Awana, because they've got something here, and you need to tune in to some of this wisdom. We'll be back in just a moment with the president of Awana International, Jack Eggers, next on Generations.
Dads, is it time to get away with your sons to build those relationships? Remember, fruitful relationships is what it takes to have a fruitful life. And how you disciple your son has everything to do with the relationship that you'll have with your son. Don't miss a once-in-a-lifetime experience at our Father-Son Retreat at the Crooked Creek Ranch in the Colorado Rockies this August. This year, we are featuring some great speakers like Doug Phillips, Bill Potter, and Kevin Swanson from the Generations Radio program. You'll also hear the Wintons Band, a father and sons trio who play some great gospel bluegrass to the glory of God. You'll enjoy Father-Son Olympics, sports, swimming, and hiking in the beautiful Colorado Rockies. Register today for the Father-Son Retreat taking place over the weekend of August 28th. You can register online at check.org, that's chec.org on the web, or call toll-free 877-842-2432. That's 877-842-2432.
Welcome back to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, and today talking about generational continuity and the huge leap we have in the Christian faith here in North America. And with me is Jack Egger. He's president, CEO of Awana International, has been since 1999. Welcome to the program, Jack.
Thank you, Kevin. It's good to be with you today.
Jack, Awana has been around now for quite some time. You've been growing throughout the world, 100 countries plus, I think, doing the program, thousands of churches around America. You've seen incredible growth. This program, I think, is a crucial program. What's the vision behind it, Jack?
Well, the vision behind it is for kids to come to know, love, and serve Jesus Christ. And we're really crying out to the church today to open its eyes and realize that they, as a church, make very poor spiritual surrogate parents. That God has designed mom and dad to be the spiritual mentors in raising up spiritual champions. And the church can perhaps make its greatest impact in a child's life by the work it puts into the parents in preparing them, equipping them, and then holding them accountable to do godly things at home with their kids.
Which is exactly what the Apostle Paul did with his youth program in Ephesians 6:1-4. He looks at parents, teach your children God's word, bring them up in the nurture of the Lord. And then he looks at children and say, listen to him, honor him, obey him. It's a simple program, but it works.
Yeah, you know, it's not difficult, but we do have to recognize that all of us in this society today have to confess that we did not get any training to be parents of children. We have been told by our society that our real value is work. So we go to school for 12, 20 years, and we learn to work. And by the way, drop your kids off at the daycare center on your way to work. I mean, think about it. How many of us actually went to school for a year to be good, godly parents? And so we're in over our heads. We don't really know what to do, especially us dads. And so we do what is most convenient, and that is run and ignore what our responsibilities are, and it doesn't get done, and we assume that by delegating it to the church will do the job for us, and the church is not.
In just about every survey I've seen, Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis just completed one himself in his book Already Gone. You just simply can't expect your children to be walking with God at 20 years of age with an occasional youth camp and relying on Sunday school. It just doesn't work that way.
Well, that's it. I mean, just common sense will tell you that, at best, kids only spend a couple of hours a week at church. And do we really think that we are going to spiritually form and build and sharpen our kids with that kind of input? No, we need a lot more input, and it begins at home, but the church must recognize that its job is equipping parents, as parents then are held responsible for equipping their kids.
And Jack, as you read Deuteronomy 6, 7 through 9, you get the impression that this isn't an occasional event. This is an integrated thing where that child just grows up in the atmosphere and the environment of God's presence all the time. And we got to construct that for our kids.
Well, I tell parents, I said, learn to hoover over your kids. And that's the Moses principle there in Deuteronomy 6. And that is, whether you're standing or sitting or walking with your child or even lying flat on your back, use every moment as a teaching moment. You be disciplining your kids in the ways of the Lord so that they will grow up to fear Him and stand in awe of Him and honor Him and love Him all the days of their lives.
Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that to the bottom of my soul, and I pray that God is helping me as I raise my five children in the fear and the nurture of the Lord. And you know, I here we are sitting in post-Christian America. We've got what some people call the 80% leak rate, 80% of Christian children leaving the faith. Newsweek magazine headlines, "The End of Christian America," back in March of 2009. 1 in 20 people know the Ten Commandments now, per a recent survey from the BBC. We're losing the faith. What? Why? In your estimation, looking at the big picture, why is this happening?
Oh, well, you know, I love to stand in the face of culture and say, let me tell you, I represent the Lord God and His heavenly culture, and let me tell you about that. And I want to assure Christian parents today that there is still hope, that it's still possible to raise up a spiritual champion who will know, love, and serve Jesus. But let me tell you something. Our kids are inundated today with the philosophy, the mindset of the world, and it just permeates every fiber of our being. And that's why parents have to make a commitment and get involved as never before, because they're fighting for the very eternal destinations of their children, and the world is very powerful, and it's winning the cultural wars hands down.
Jack, I had the unique opportunity on Sunday to meet with several Ukrainian and Russian pastors in Denver, where these men had been persecuted for Christ in the 1980s, been in prison, and now they're over in America. They settled here, but they said, we're losing our children. It's horrible. They're sinking into this culture, and they're almost wishing they were back in 1980s Russia because of what is happening here in America. And I said, welcome to America. It's a toxic culture. You put your children in this culture, you're submersing them in an acid bath.
Well, that's exactly right. And you know, the truth is, Kevin, most of our people think that, well, somehow our kids will get to those teen years and they'll ultimately make up their minds for the things of God or not. And we hope they'll make the right decisions, when in reality, when that child is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and on up toward those teen years, that's when the foundations of the faith must be set firmly in place with our children. And we, as parents, need to understand the criticality of this issue.
In other words, what you want them to do is to build their children up so they can withstand, so they can go out into that culture and bring down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God in Christ, be the salt and light in society they ought to be. But that's going to take some work to get them ready for that.
Oh, it takes an enormous amount of work, because ultimately, as godly parents, we desire for our children to be wise. And to be wise is to make godly decisions. In other words, what would Jesus do? To so make a God a presence in the heart and the mind and the life of my child that each of the actions taken all day long are based on a set of values that have been built into the child's heart that are biblical. And so the child is often looking at an opportunity or a conflict or an issue and honestly is seeking God's design, God's perspective in that matter. And you know, the bottom line is, don't we as parents want our children to grow up to make more right decisions than wrong decisions? And yet we're doing very little by and large across America to build those foundations and set them in place so our children have a value system that works.
Well, you know, you talk about the modern-day Joseph, and I know that's a new program that your organization, Awana, is working with. But if you're going to send your son into Egypt, or if he wanted to wind up in Egypt as Joseph did, he's got to be a Joseph. Why don't you describe what that is? I think this is a good part of that vision.
Well, think about Joseph with me. I mean, here's a guy that's ripped away from his culture, his country, his loving family, his father who really did love him. I mean, all of these things were taken away in a moment. And not only is he transported to another country, but he becomes a slave with no rights in that country, and even in the midst of hardships that are indescribable in our culture today. And I would dare say that most of our young people in America have never been slaves or in a situation that is that devastating. The truth is, Joseph made right decisions.
Yes.
He actually made right choices, and he honored God. I mean, even when Potiphar's wife came after him, sexually assaulted him, he said, you know, I'm not going to do this sin against God and your husband. In other words, he had the perception and the wisdom to see the matter as it really was. And in his eyes, it was a very ugly thing, and it was not to be desired whatsoever. In fact, he fought with her, and she wrestled away his coat, if you can imagine.
Right.
Just unbelievable to think that in his day, with everything going against him, he honored God with such commitment and loyalty that the Lord used all of those hardships to make him the prime minister of the greatest country in the world at that time.
And may God work in the hearts and the lives of our sons and daughters that they would have that kind of faith. Jack, how do we raise modern-day Josephs?
You know, I really think that it begins with, let me begin with dads. You know, I don't think it's a head problem. I talk to dads all the time, and, you know, they bobblehead me. They say, yeah, Jack, we know that we've got a responsibility here. They just don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, in recent polls, we find that in fact, 90% of Christian households in America, there is no organized devotional time, nor do parents have any kind of a spiritual target that they're aiming for in raising up their children to know, love, and serve Jesus. That's why we raised up Joseph, by the way. But I really think that the issue with dads, it's not a head problem, it's a heart problem. I think dads need to get their hearts right with God. I think they need to humbly fall on their faces before the Lord and say, oh God, I don't know how to be a spiritual mentor to my son, to my daughter. I don't know how to lead them. And this is where James chapter 1 kicks in. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And that's as simple as God makes it. He doesn't have us jump through any hoops. He says, look, do you lack wisdom? Do you lack understanding in this matter? Are you really confused as to how do you go about raising godly spiritual children? Well, just ask me.
Yeah.
I will give you that wisdom if you're willing to ask in faith, believing that I'm able to do what I'm able to do.
I appreciate the fact, Jack, you went directly to the hearts of fathers. One of the most shocking surveys I ever saw was George Barna's survey on parenting, where he found only 1 in 3 of born-again parents consider the salvation of their kids an important parental emphasis. I was shocked when I saw that. Where's the passion for their children's salvation? Where's their passion for God here?
Well, for those two-thirds that don't get it, I have some sad news for them, and that is they're going to lament that misunderstanding. They're going to come to a day in their life when their children walk away from the faith that they're going to say, well, what happened? And you know, they're going to be quick to blame. They're going to say, well, it was the church's responsibility. No, it's not. The Bible says it's your responsibility, Dad. The Bible says, Mom, it's your responsibility, and it's better if you do it together.
How do you get parents really to commit to the salvation of their children? What would you say to a father?
Well, I would, you know, really it comes back to good, solid biblical teaching from the pulpit. I think, you know, we're missing the important role the church can play in training and equipping parents. I think there needs to be a reprioritization of children and the future of the church. And that begins in the pulpit, perhaps, when pastors say, hey, you know what? this year I need to teach on parenting. I need to teach on fatherhood. I need to teach on motherhood so that fathers and mothers begin to realize that the spiritual integrity of their children is more important than cars, than houses, than anything material. It is the most important thing we can do as moms and dads, and that's to ensure that our children are going to heaven. And yet we tend to treat that so casually in the church that it becomes a non-issue. Like, well, you know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't.
Hmm. Jack, I want to get back to the Awana program because I believe that you've done a lot of good things for the sake of the kingdom of God for the last number of decades with the Awana program here in America and throughout 100 countries around the world. What is it about the Awana program that is reaching the hearts of children and families?
Well, we have some very, very basic, simple principles. We serve well over 12,000 churches in America alone today.
Mm-hmm.
And we really, more than anything else, we are a dedicated outreach ministry of the local church. We are mere servants. We come along beside churches to help them connect with their communities. We believe with all our hearts that the purpose of a local church is to be a kingdom lighthouse, and they are to refract the light of Jesus Christ out into the neighborhood so that people might come to know Christ. And we find that when we have really fun, good, clean, safe, fun kid stuff, that the kids so love it that they bring their friends, and before you know it, bridges are being built to dads and moms, unchurched dads and moms, and the church is being given multitudinous opportunities to go and meet with parents who do not know Christ. And thus the church begins to grow, it begins to make its impact in the community. And you know, it's just basically good biblical evangelism and discipleship. We make it fun and easy for the church to expand and impact its community.
And of course, your goal is to see that the Word of God is working its way into the hearts of these children and these families. Bible memorization is a key part of this.
That's right. Bible memorization is one of the components that we use. You know, and it's just good common sense here. I mean, kids, they're like sponges. They learn things so quickly. And, you know, we adults, if we take the time to help them hide God's Word in their hearts, and we do a good job and we repeat those verses from time to time, we do reviews, they literally keep those verses in their hearts and minds for the rest of their lives. And they're there as an ever-present source of ministry and help and encouragement.
And when it really comes down to it, that's where all of this begins. If our sons and daughters will become the modern-day Josephs and the Esthers and those men and women of strong faith, raising their own households, hopefully for the glory of God and for the sake of the kingdom of God, they've got to really run, their bloodstream has to run with the scriptures, with the truth of God's Word.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, kids are so receptive. In fact, that's why we believe in the 414 window. And it goes something like this. The majority of all who ever come to Christ will come to Christ between the ages of 4 and 14. In other words, if the church wants to evangelize, wants to reach out to its community, then it's going to make the greatest impact within the context of children and youth ministry.
Mm. Well, let's move forward here and continue to encourage families and parents and churches to do what God has called them to do. And I have some hope for the future. Where are you with that, Jack, as you look at what's going on now?
I do too, Kevin. In fact, you know, I'm looking at a number of Christian young people today who have decided to follow Jesus. And there is a depth of sincerity and honesty. They want to be genuine. They want the faith to work. They want to do practical ministries. They don't want to just play church and, as that popular song is pointing out today, just going through the motions. They want their faith to count. And so I'm seeing some amazing young people today, and I'm pretty excited about it. But, you know, that the church could be winning so many more. It could be making such a great impact if it would just simply put parents to work in raising their kids, make sure that their ministries in their church are producing fruit, and cut away all the stuff that's trivial and time wasting.
Yeah, and it's about time that that happens. And as we do this, I think God is going to reconstruct a biblical vision that will hopefully be perpetrated into the next generation, and then the next, and the next. And it's amazing what happens when sons will stand on the shoulders of fathers and continue on with that kingdom vision. I think tremendous things can happen in the future.
Well, oh, absolutely.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Jack Egger from Awana Ministries here on Generations. We appreciate your vision, and God bless you in the work that you're doing.
Likewise, Kevin, God bless you and your ministry.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you caught a vision for raising a modern-day Joseph today with Jack Egger from Awana Ministries. And folks, if you'd like some of those resources, just go to awana.org on the web, and you can catch some of those great resources that parents, I think, will find very useful in teaching their children as they sit in their house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, and as they lie down. This is the vision of our radio program, and I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast. You can interact with the program by emailing me directly at host@kevinswanson.com, and you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.
Imagine a summer camp for the whole family, a camp with some great messages that will encourage your family to live and love together the way God has laid out in His Word. Imagine a five-day camp with some of the best nationally known speakers on the family, a five-day camp priced from $155. That's $155 for the whole family. We have obtained the use of one of the largest campgrounds in the West for this camp in Glorieta, New Mexico. Your family will hear inspiring messages on relationships and loving the family from some of the familiar voices carried on the Generations radio broadcast. And there will be plenty of time for relaxing fellowship, hiking, volleyball, softball, high ropes course, paintball, miniature golf, horseshoes, shuffleboard, frisbee golf, tennis, ping pong, paddle boats, and canoeing. We have priced this camp so it will be affordable to the largest families with the lowest income in a tough economy. To register or just check out a little more information on this camp, visit our website, renewingthefamily.com. That's renewingthefamily.com. This camp is sponsored by Reformation Church, a family-integrated church located between Colorado Springs and Denver in Castle Rock. Call 303-648-9606 for a brochure or email camp@reformationchurch.com. That's camp@reformationchurch.com. You need to register now. At these prices, we are filling up fast. That's camp@reformationchurch.com.